Well, good evening, truth seekers. Malloy here on Nova M. Thanks for tuning in. Stick around a while. Do you suppose Barack Obama has finally learned about his attempt for to bipartisanship and reaching across the slime-filled gutter that separates Republicans from normal people? Do you? After what Judd Gregg did? Obama is, and now keep in mind that Gregg was the one who approached Barack Obama. Gregg is the one who came whining into Washington, "Oh, I don't want to be a senator. I want to be part of your cabinet." It was Gregg. Now, obviously, the Republican Party leadership, Rush Limbaugh, Joe the Plumber, and the hoe from Wasilla, sat him down and said, No, you can't do that. So, Gregg waits until Barack Obama is out of town. He, like all Republicans, he's a goddamn coward. He doesn't have just the baseline decency to give Obama a call and say, "Mr. President, I've changed my mind." No, because he's a filthy, stinking Republican. He waits until Obama is out of town. And then he makes a public announcement. Barack's, Obama's press secretary didn't know. The White House office didn't know. Obama didn't know. You see, this is why I say that the Republican Party should be taken to the nearest field and murdered. It should be hammered until there's nothing left. They are terrorists. They are domestic terrorists. And the only good thing that George Bush did was in his psychopathic fascist rantings and altering of domestic law, he changed the definition of domestic terrorism to include exactly what the Republicans are doing. They are terrorists. They are doing everything they can to disrupt the reformulation of this economy that they destroyed. Now, if that's not domestic terrorism, I don't know what is. They need to be arrested. Limbaugh needs to be arrested and jailed. I don't even know if he should be given a trial. He damn sure wouldn't allow a trial to anybody else, right? The hoe from Wasilla needs to be put on a barge and sent into the Bering Sea. And Joe the Plumber, he just needs a goddamn job. That's all. You know, put a cork in it, Joe. Go get a job. He's a reporter going to the Middle East. But on the other hand, I love it. I think a drug-addled freak who made himself deaf from drug abuse, Rush Limbaugh, an unemployed jerk who claims to be a plumber, and the turkey killer from Alaska. I mean, this is it. The three stooges. This is the leadership of the Republican Party, and I hope it just stays right where it is. You know, Limbaugh can run the Republican Party from jail. Jesus, you know, he can just keep in touch with these people on his blueberry. No, he doesn't have a blackberry. He's got a blueberry. Goddamn freak. So Judd Gregg, like all Republican office holders and most people who vote Republican, is a coward. An absolute slimy coward. He said there were, quote, irresolvable conflicts, end quote, between him and the administration. Irresolvable conflicts. Like Judd Gregg, when he went on his knees into the White House begging for a cabinet position, he didn't know? He didn't know what the budget stimulus or the stimulus plan was going to be. Oh, right. Okay, Judd. Sure. Whatever you say. His statement said in part, quote, "It has become apparent during this process that this will not work for me, as I have found that on issues such as the stimulus package and the census, there are irresolvable conflicts for me. Prior to accepting this post, we had discussed these and other potential differences, but unfortunately, we did not adequately focus on these concerns." Oh, okay. So you went through the vetting process, and everything was told to you, but, wait, we didn't focus enough. He goes on to say, "We are functioning from a different set of views on many critical items of policy." Yeah, that's true. He's a I'm glad he's gone. I cannot believe whoever advised Obama to put this turd in his cabinet was either a practical joker or drunk and said,
Obama, President Obama, take this guy. Say, Chuck Rick. Yeah, he's great. Yeah, okay.
Different set of views on many critical items of policy. This had nothing to do with policy. This is ideology. This is a right-wing freak from his home state. Where's he from? Where's this jerk from? Oh my God! I don't even. Not that it matters. Where's he from? New Hampshire. His policy differences, if they do exist, are like all Republicans. He does not want money spent on public school system. He wants the public school system to collapse so that, good Christians and Taliban-like freaks in this country can run the school system. He does not want money for Medicaid or children's health insurance programs. And the reason for that is because he is on the take to the pharmaceutical industry. He wants all the children to be sick so they have to go get medicine from the pharmaceutical industry. Of course, how are they going to buy it? Well, he doesn't want food stamps for people that are hurting. He doesn't care about unemployment and extending unemployment compensation benefits. Yeah, he's got policy difference with the president. He's also got policy difference with a normal human being. That's who he has policy. Now, as far as his objections to the so-called census issue, keep in mind what the census is all about. It has enormous implications, social and political. It's used to distribute federal money to states and cities based on population. And, ta-da, it's used to redraw congressional districts. And it determines how many seats in the House of Representatives that states like California and Florida, the states are still collecting population, will pick up at the expense of states whose populations are relatively stagnant. So what the Republicans, first of all, they don't want people voting. In that respect, they're like the framers of the Constitution. Just let us white men vote. We'll take care of it. You know, the bitches can stay home and the colored people, well, you know, I don't know. What? There's a colored person in the White House? What'd he do, break in? It's a joke. So, these white males want the prerogative or the franchise all to themselves. And so the census thing, they know that when people are counted, and here's the funny part. The Republicans always argued, well, it's got to be an absolute head count. Realizing, of course, a lot of people are just not going to be there for the census taker to count them.
Well, you don't count people who are not home. You don't count people who may be gone. You don't count people who are homeless. You don't count any of those people whatsoever. They're not real. They're ghosts. They're shades, they're haints, they really don't exist.
What the Democrats wanted to do, this is another thing that Clinton just, you know, his knees collapsed on this one too. But what the Democrats wanted was using computer models to, not to guess how many people were in the country, but using statistical sampling that political analysts believed, some of the right-wing political analysts believe that this sort of thing, statistical sampling, would help Democrats by adding more urban and minority people in the totals.
Oh, and we all know that colored folk always vote Democrat, right? Yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Urban people.
Well, you know, urban people, we can't say the N-word anymore, so we say urban people. You know what we mean, though, don't you?
These rat bastards. So what do you think? Do you think Barack Obama has finally come to his senses? Republicans are terrorists. They're scum. Republican office holders are worse. The Republican Party needs to be eliminated.
Because life's too short to listen to Right Wing Radio, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Twenty-one past the hour. God, I hate Republicans. I really do.
Oh, really, Mike? You really do?
Yeah. They need to be driven out of the country. The party. The party itself. The apparatus needs to be torched, burned to the ground, and the earth on which it sat salted, and roaches and worms loosed on the ground. You want another example of predatory capitalism? Capitalism is practiced by Republicans. The other day, I think it was last night, I read to you what Greg sent me about Henry's Turkey Service in Iowa. That was a company that was using mentally retarded people for slave labor, paying them like 46 cents an hour. Christ, even the Chinese pay more than that. And the company, run by white Americans, taking their disability checks and storing them, the people not providing housing. They say, yeah, here's your housing, you know. And it was like these pictures I've seen of the now abandoned barracks at the Nazi and death camps. That's what they look like. And this is what this filthy company. It was a turkey company. And they use these retarded people to gut turkeys in Iowa. Now, that sounds like a good job, doesn't it? Huh? Yeah, that sounds like a great job, especially for someone who is mentally challenged or retarded, whatever word you want to use. Here, take this sharp knife. Now, rip it down there. That's good. Now, reach your arm up in there. Now, pull all those guts out. Well, we told you about that guy. And then there was the peanut bastard. Now, these are all Republicans, all of these people. The peanut bastard from here in, he doesn't live here. I think he lived in Texas. I don't know where his home base was. But he had this this outhouse hole of a peanut company down here that has now murdered nine people, I think the death toll's up to now, made 800 or 900 sick. This is worse than, as far as I know, than any deaths caused in this country by toxic garbage being sent here by, the criminals in China. Of course, China, once it's clear that they're going to lose business if they keep this up, they usually take the guy out and put a bullet in the back of his head and then strip him out, cover his body with plastic and send it around the world, the human body. You know, that's usually what they do. So, but here, we brought in the peanut bastard and he sat there. Well, I refuse to testify on the grounds of anything I say might be used against me in a court of law. Okay, plead the Fifth Amendment, you murdering son of a bitch, but he's also a Republican. Now we have the third case. Boy, they just keep rolling in, don't they? Some judges in Pennsylvania. Have you seen this? It's at MSNBC. Oh, my God. Let me get the story. It's the juvenile court system in Wilkes-Barre, PA. Run by a couple of judges where a youngster, juvenile court system, okay? We're talking about kids here. Children were brought before judges without a lawyer, given hearings that lasted about a minute or two, and then sent off to a juvenile prison for months for minor offenses. Now, why did that happen? Well, according to prosecutors, the people who have gone after these two Republican judges, it was corruption. It is being called one of the most shocking cases of courtroom graft on record. These two Republican judges have been charged with taking millions of dollars in kickbacks to send children to two privately run youth detention centers. And then, of course, they bill the state and the federal government. You see how this works? You see how these filthy pig Republicans operate? Oh, well, too much spending of public money. We need to privatize this stuff. Yeah, that's the ticket. Let's privatize it. So these judges, an attorney with the Philadelphia-based Juvenile Law Center, which is representing hundreds of young people sentenced in the system, said, quote, "I've never encountered, and I don't think that we will in our lifetimes, a case where literally thousands of kids' lives were just tossed aside in order for a couple of judges to make some money," end quote. Now, they're Luzerne County judges Mark Ciavarella and Michael Conahan. They took $2.6 million in payoffs to put juvenile offenders in private prisons. One was run by PA Child Care LLC and a sister company, Western PA Child Care LLC. The judges had been removed from the bench by the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. They were charged in January 26th, and they're both looking at up to 7 years in prison. And the state Supreme Court, meanwhile, is looking into whether hundreds or even thousands of sentences that these pig Republican judges use to make their money should be overturned and the juveniles' records expunged. I want a quick example. Among the offenders were teenagers who were locked up for months for stealing loose change from cars, writing a prank note and posting it on YouTube, and another one for possessing drug paraphernalia. Many had never been in trouble before. Some were imprisoned even after probation officers recommended against it. You want Republican sons of bitches? You wonder why I say they're terrorists? You want to know why I say the Republican Party should be murdered? One more example.
And now a soothing bedtime lullaby. It's Mike Malloy.
Twenty-five before the hour, so we are on episode 3 in just the last couple of days here of Republican filth. So these, the latest one, Wilkes-Barre, PA, these two judges who ran the juvenile court system in Luzerne County took $2.6 million in payoffs to put juvenile offenders in privately run lockups, one called PA Child Care LLC and its sister company, Western PA Child Care LLC. They were charged on January 26th with this horrific crime and removed from the bench by the PA Supreme Court shortly afterward. And now it looks like hundreds, if not thousands, of so-called convictions are going to have to be overturned and the records of these kids expunged. Can you imagine what these filthy son-of-a-bitchin Republican judges have done to these kids? Can you imagine? Sent them off into a private lockup. What kind of treatment does a private lockup provide? Well, in the first place, nobody ever know because it's, you know, proprietary information. Do they beat them? Are they raped? Are they tortured? Are they ignored? Do they have visitation rights? Do they get decent food? Do they sleep in cockroach-infected beds? Who knows? But you see, this is the Republican way. This is what Republicans do. They set up private prisons for children, and then they enlist a couple of Republican judges to feed the machine. And then they kick back to the judges. How many little boys you send us today? 8? Okay, here's your check. Let me see. Blah, 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 blah. That'll be $14,000, Judge. Thanks, boys. Jesus Christ. The judges were scheduled to plead guilty to fraud today in federal court, and their plea agreements call for sentences of more than 7 years behind bars.
Oh, really?
Ciavarella, who is 58, the one judge who presided over Luzerne County's juvenile court for 12 years, acknowledged last week in a letter to his former colleagues, he said, I have disgraced my judgeship. My actions have destroyed everything I worked to accomplish, and I have only myself to blame. Though he denied he got kickbacks for sending young people to prison. And the prosecutors have the records, $2.6 million in kickbacks. Oh, I didn't get any. Well, what's this? Oh, nothing. That's nothing. The other freak, Republican Judge Conahan has remained silent about the case. Well, of course. But the prosecutors say that Conahan shut down the county-run juvenile prison in 2002, the one run by tax dollars, and helped the two private companies secure rich contracts worth tens of millions of dollars, at least some of that dependent on how many juveniles were locked up. So what these two rat bastards were running was a junior version of Abu Ghraib or Gitmo. And they did it for money, and they did it against children. This is what Republicans are about, paying 34 cents an hour to retarded men to gut turkeys, putting salmonella poisoned food on the market, selling children into a prison system for kickbacks. And some of you people wonder why I hate these filthy, disgusting Republicans. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Here's one of the cases. Hillary Transu didn't have an attorney. Most of these kids do not have an attorney, even though the Supreme Court ruled years ago that children were entitled. It was a 1967 court ruling that children have a constitutional right to counsel. But, see, Republican judges, Republicans who run private prisons, or Republicans who dump poison peanut butter on the market, or Republicans who hire, retarded men and pay them 37 cents an hour to gut turkeys, they don't give a goddamn about a Supreme Court, really? What are you talking about? Children should have counsel? Well, that would ruin our scam. Hillary Transu did not have an attorney, nor was she told of her right to have one when she appeared in Schiavarelli's courtroom in 2007 for building a MySpace page that lampooned her school's assistant principal. No threats, just made fun of her. Her mother worked for 16 years in the child service department of another county and said that when the child was hauled into juvenile court, she was certain she would get a slap on the wrist. Instead, Judge Schiavarelli sentenced her to 3 months in the detention center. 3 months! I wonder how much the filthy Republican bastard judge got for that, huh? What do you think? 3 months? I wonder if he is paid by how long he sentenced them or how many bodies he delivered to children. Hillary, who is now 17 and a high school senior who plans to become an English teacher, said, quote, I felt so disgraced for a while, like, what do people think of me now? End quote. I hate them. Republicans are terrorists. They're anti-family. They're anti-life. They're anti-American. Their leadership is the drug-addled, street, drug-sucking Rush Limbaugh. And he didn't, you see, you know, another example of cowardice. Judd Gregg is one example today. The cowardly rat bastard waits until Barack Obama's off giving a speech. Oh, I'm not going to be the Treasury Secretary or Secretary of Commerce. Why not? Oh, well, we got some fundamental differences, and the census turned over to the Commerce Department because, you know, they'll start counting the dark people and the poor people, and that's not how we Republicans operate! Rush Limbaugh is such a filthy, piggish coward that he wouldn't even go score his own illegal pharmaceutical street drugs. He sent his housekeeper. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. And what do you call two Republican judges who send children into a private penal colony for money? What do you call that? What? I can't hear you. And you twisted, freaked out conservatives and Republicans who listen to this program while you play with yourselves. Because I know it stimulates you. I know it does. Better than Viagra, isn't it? Not that I want you to call this program sick of you. I don't want any of you to call this program ever. But how do you like it? I mean, how does it feel? What if it was your child? What if it was your mother who had to get a job working as Rush Limbaugh's house servant? And as part of her employment, she had to go score street drugs for him. Ah! What if it was your retarded uncle who got sucked into gutting turkeys for 47 cents for some Republican bastard? Huh? And what if your kid eats the toxic peanut butter put out there by a Republican who knew goddamn good and well that it was full of poison, and your kid died? Then what would you do? You don't want regulation? There you are. You don't want oversight? There you are. You don't want public money spent on things like juvenile detention center? There you are. You bastards. You bastards. Yeah, private systems are so much better than government oversight. Yeah. It never stops. It never stops with these right-wingers. These filthy, crap-mouthed Republicans like Mitch McConnell and Jeff Sessions and the rest of them, Joe Lieberman, all of these pigs who are up there either not voting, if they're in the House, not a single Republican voted for this stimulus plan. Not because they thought it was bad, but because they didn't have enough tax cuts. Now, this is what Republicans want. You know this, Truth Seeker, but this is what they want. Somebody's drawing unemployment. Somebody is about to lose their house. Somebody's about to lose their car. Somebody can't afford the goddamn money for health insurance for their kid to have an operation. And the Republicans want to say, don't worry, Joe, here's a tax cut for you. Joe's liable to pick up a rifle someday and say, tax cut. You stupid bastard, I don't have a paycheck. But that's what the Republicans want. Tax cuts, tax cuts! Oh, we don't like these spending bills! Unless it's for something they want. Then it's okay. Barack Obama needs to understand something. We can all praise him for his efforts to be bipartisan, reach across the aisle to the pit of vermin. But, yo, Mr. President, don't you get it yet? You can't deal with subhumans when you're trying to make policy. Ignore them.
They put their faith and trust in God and corporations. They stand for piety that doesn't suffer.
Doing talk radio right. From the left, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. Free Thought Society has sent out a press release, and also this is being covered by various news organizations. Centers on Madison, Wisconsin. So you folks who listen to us on the mic 92.1, da-da-da-da-da-da, you have some fun things coming to your city. If you remember, the backgrounder for the story is atheist organizations in England, in London, have been putting up signs on buses that say, what do they say, there probably is no God, so relax and enjoy your life. No, there's probably no God, so quit worrying and enjoy your life. Those are exterior bus sign campaigns, and they're other than Islamic countries, there are very few societies on the face of the earth who are as religiously psychotic as in the United States. Most Europeans and people in the UK, even in Italy, you know, they just go like, yeah, okay, you know, the religion, yeah, right. And it's not something that they all mouth breathe over like we do here. In most civilized societies, what your personal belief in an afterlife or a spook in the sky or the spook's avatars or whatever, you keep it to yourself. You poison your own children, your own family members with the spookisms, but you don't parade around, say, well, I'm a fill in the blank. And if you're not a fill in the blank, your ass is going to burn in hell. You know, you do that in a European city or in some place in the UK, and people immediately bring out a big net and an emergency vehicle and take your ass away because, like, obviously you're crazy. But not here. Oh, no, no, no. Here, well, I'm a Christian. God bless America. I'm a Christian. Is rapture here yet? Jesus, God. So anyway, it's coming to America in Madison, Wisconsin for the next 2 months. There will be irreverent, thought-provoking messages on signs and stuff, compliments of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, free thought society kind of place. The Madison, Wisconsin-based association, it's based right there in Madison, is debuting 6 new and provocative bus signs to go up tomorrow. I don't know. When did I get this? Maybe they're up now. But they bear quotations, these signs bear quotations by 5 famous freethinkers or skeptics throughout history, plus a quote from contemporary evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins, who wrote the bestseller The God Delusion. Dawkins' smiling face is juxtaposed by one of his famous lines from The God Delusion that says, quote, "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction," end quote. There's another quote from Clarence Darrow, the agnostic attorney for the damned, so-called, who famously represented John Scopes in the monkey trial in Dayton, Tennessee. His quote is, quote, "I don't believe in God because I don't believe in Mother Goose," end quote. There's a 4-line poem by Emily Dickinson will be featured. And this was absolute news to me. I had no idea that Butterfly McQueen, the actress, I think first actress ever, of color, ever to win an Academy Award, she was famous for her typecast role as Prissy in Gone with the Wind. And she was a nearly lifelong atheist and a lifetime member of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, Butterfly McQueen. So the foundation chose one of her quotes from an interview with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution here in 1989. The quote was, quote, "As my ancestors are free from slavery, I am free from the slavery of religion," end quote. And then there's another one from Twain's book, Pudd'nhead Wilson. That quote is, quote, "Of faith is believing what you know ain't so." Katharine Hepburn is quoted as saying, quote, "I'm an atheist, and that's it. I believe that there's nothing we can know except that we should know." "I'm an atheist, and that's it. I believe that there's nothing we can know except that we should be kind to each other and that we should do for other people," end quote. Oh, Lord. So, who is it? Who's this guy? Is he the head of the Free Thought Society? says, quote, "We'll need to see the same outpouring of support from U.S. freethinkers, because to make an impact in the United States is a lot more challenging than it was in the U.K. In the U.K., the Humanist Air raised more than $200,000 in a few weeks in an online appeal. And now, this Freedom From Religion Foundation placed what is believed to be the first non-theist bus signs way back in 1983 in Madison, Wisconsin, according to Gaylor. After stopping a state church violation involving Madison Metro, that's the city bus company, they had placed free ads saying, "Keep Christ in Christmas," for the Knights of Columbus. And the foundation's first bus sign read, "The Bible, a grim fairy tale." And the one I like, in 1984, the foundation placed a second bus sign showing a delighted Mary running out of the stable exclaiming, "It's a girl!" Oh, Jesus. So you people in Madison, this ought to be fun. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M. All right, welcome back. Malloy here on Nova M Radio. This is great. Abby in Maine writes regarding bipartisanship, and again, that's the only thing I agree with. What's his name? A Republican operative, Brent Scott. Who was it? It doesn't matter. The guy that set up some anti-tax organization, but he said bipartisan. I think it was bipartisanship. It's just another word for date rape. And he was referring to Democrats, of course, but that's because he's a total psychopath. But Abby from Maine writes a quote from a guy named John Cole. Here it is, quote, "I really don't understand how bipartisanship is ever going to work when one of the parties is insane. Imagine trying to negotiate an agreement on dinner plans with your date, and you suggest Italian. And she states that her preference would be a meal of tire rims and anthrax. If you can figure out a way to split the difference there and find a meal you will both enjoy, you can probably figure out how bipartisanship is going to work for the next few years," end quote. Yeah, you want Italian, and she says, "Well, I'll have tire rims and anthrax." Yeah, oh, my God, that is so true. Thanks, Abby. Jesus, that's funny. And then here's an email from Mark in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I love that movie, Lords of Flatbush. Oh, my God, I loved that movie. It was just so, I mean, the guys that were in it were just like cartoon characters, but I loved it. I loved that movie. Anyway, Mark in Flatbush writes, "Dear Mr. Malloy," really? "I'm tuning in late tonight, so I'm not sure what your topic is at the moment, but after watching Rachel Maddow's report on this Republican scum who decided he doesn't want to be Commerce Secretary, wah, wah, the thing made me sick. I cannot stand it any longer. Please, please help me. You seem not to have your head up, blah, 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 blah. Maybe you get it. This character, Senator Gregg, set up Obama. How many times do I have to yell at people, not you, not your listeners, that this is all planned? I cannot take the so-called news, even Rachel and Keith Olbermann, pretending like they're shocked all the time. I simply cannot stand it any longer. Here's what the Republicans did. It's ridiculously simple. You just have to think like them. Something so unpleasant, it's not surprising most progressives fail to do so. They are currently in the minority, right? So what's the difference in sacrificing one more? So Senator Gregg contacts Obama saying he wants to be Commerce Secretary. Yeah, thinks Obama. Bipartisanship at last. So the senator gets the job, although he's not yet confirmed, and then quits. Now it looks like Obama is losing cabinet members left and right. He's unstable. He can't even keep his cabinet in order. So why should you believe anything he attempts? Drip, drip, drip. That's how you erode an 80% approval rating. So is there any surprise this nonsense started 2 days after he took office? Some honeymoon. But that's why it'll take a lot of drips to erode Obama down to their level. And aren't you sick of the media pretending it doesn't understand the basic Republican tactics, Mike? I mean, I'm a nobody, sitting here naked in Brooklyn, eating Kellogg's competitors as my silent protest in solidarity to Michael Phelps. So what do I know? Enough to know that this is all a planned campaign to take Obama down. Wake up, Mr. President. Thanks for letting me vent. Mark in Flatbush, Brooklyn. Yeah, I don't disagree with that at all. I don't disagree with that at all. This whiny little bastard, Judd Gregg, goes, you know, and remember, he is the whiny little bastard who, as he's running after the office of Commerce Secretary, he turns around to notify the Democratic governor of his state that when he, Senator Judd Gregg, becomes Commerce Secretary,
he doesn't want the Democratic governor appointing a Democratic senator to replace him. Oh, no. No, goddammit. I want to promise you're not going to do that.
Okay, here's your promise.
All right, thanks. Now, where was I? Oh, that's right. I'm here to embarrass the president.
So anybody who tells you it was not planned is either Rush Limbaugh or a filthy liar. Or there's a third choice, and that is a stupid-ass Republican.
Well, Mike, you don't understand. He got in there and read that agreement, that stimulus thing, and said, no, I ain't going to be part of this. No, this is going to bankrupt America.
That's the same thing they said about Clinton's plan in 1993 that rescued the country from the first Bush meltdown. This always happens, doesn't it? Now, the possibility of Democrats embarrassing the Republicans again is almost zero, because assuming that Barack Obama, over the next 8 years of his presidency, pulls off some miracles and restores the country to fiscal sanity, and the good times start to roll again, and some jackass like Limbaugh or Joe the Plumber or the hoe from Wasilla decide to run for president, and people say, well, you know what? I appreciate the fact that the Obama administration saved my life, but and my kids and my family and my grandkids. But you know what? I think it'd be fun to have a beer with the pig man or the hoe from Wasilla. Besides, she's got a great ass. So, you know, I think I'm going to vote Republican this time just for, you know, clicks and giggles. Okay? So a new Republican comes into office and Barack Obama hands them surpluses for the foreseeable future if they just leave things alone, and a balanced budget, and the economy is zipping along again. Now, that's the fantasy. That can't happen again because the Republicans, Bush, have destroyed things and corrupted every single operating system in this country. Everyone. There's no default position to fall back to. You can't. There's no safe mode to put this country into and try to reset. You know, what did Biden say the other day? Time to hit the reset button with Russia. Maybe so. But there's no reset button here. There's no safe mode to try to reboot the computer. There's nothing that can be done except to try to stay afloat until common sense, and here's the real pipe dream on my part, until common sense prevails and somebody somewhere in the government realizes that the days of American-style and exported global predatory capitalism are finished. They're gone. It's not coming back. The systems are too broken. It's not coming back. And that the move to democratic socialism better get started as quickly as possible. So, that's my little scenario. Oh, and the saintly Susan Collins, Senator Collins, the Maine Republican deal maker, Maine, state of Maine, Republican deal maker, who's been in the limelight this week for helping to pass the watered down stimulus. Oh, hi, I'm Susan Collins, and you know, my comrade in the Senate from Maine. And my other comrade in the Senate from Pennsylvania, we're going to work. You know what Susan Collins did? And this is according to Zachary Roth, writing at Talking Points Memo, Muckraker. As a matter of fact, I'll share it with you when we come back. Because it was another great coup for the so-called centrists. All right? Stick around. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.
Your host for a Prience future, it's Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour, regarding the anthrax and tire rims thing versus Italian food on your dinner date. From L.A., Rack. Rack writes, my hilarious analogy on bipartisanship reminds me of the comment in the New Yorker last October about so-called undecided voters in the Obama-McCain election. Here it is. To put them in perspective, the undecided voters, I think of being on an airplane. The flight attendant comes down the aisle with her food cart and eventually parks it beside my seat. Can I interest you in the chicken? She asked. Or would you prefer the platter of human excrement with bits of broken glass in it? To be undecided in this election is to pause for a moment and then ask how the chicken is cooked. Oh, my God. I love that. I love that. Almost as much, well, equally as much as the tire rims and anthrax. Yeah, bipartisanship, my ass. I mean, you know, these whiny Republicans who are now saying, well, we were left out. Nobody talked to us. Oh, God. See, this is one of those moments when I wish it was on Sirius or XM exclusively so I could just unfurl, you know, all kinds of filthy language, just outrageously filthy language. But, of course, the Republicans were wined and dined. Barack Obama invited these monsters, these America haters, into the White House. He invited them to cocktail parties. He went into their den. He walked over to talk with them directly. Who's done that before? When did Bush do that with Democrats? But the Republicans, you know, stuck one thumb in their mouths and the other thumb where the sun don't shine and went off behind the building and he won't talk to us. He's not going to talk to us, so we're not going to talk to him. Jesus God. The Republican Party needs to be murdered. Back to Susan Collins, the Republican deal maker from Maine who, you know, got all the attention, even got some attention here. You know, he said, well, Susan Collins and Olympia Snowe and what's his name from Pennsylvania, Arlen Specter. You know, three of the so-called centrist Republicans that, you know, Barack Obama, he had to promise something. What did he promise? Well, here's what he allowed Susan Collins to do. The House stimulus bill, and I get this from Zachary Roth writing at TPM Muckraker, the House stimulus bill contained a provision designed to protect federal whistleblowers, right? Now, remember, Susan Collins and the rest of these filthy Republicans have been talking a good game about the need to avoid wasting taxpayer money, right? We don't want to rebuild any schools, especially not the damn science labs. Maybe the chapel, but not the science lab. We don't want to extend unemployment, you know, on and on and on. Why? Because it's unnecessary spending, and, you know, it's wasting taxpayer money. Well, the House stimulus bill contained a provision designed to protect federal whistleblowers. Currently, those protections are shockingly weak, according to the Project on Government Oversight. Whistleblowers, you know, who find fraud and waste in lies that the Republicans are committing. Whistleblowers who are fired or demoted can file a complaint with a government board, but over the last 8 years, that board has ruled in favor of whistleblowers twice in 55 cases. Over the last 8 years? Well, that's interesting. Whose administration was it in the last? Well, never mind. So, more to the point, the protections were designed to encourage federal workers to point out cases where taxpayer money is subject to waste and fraud and abuse, which, believe it or not, is a legitimate concern when Congress spends $800 billion. And one that so-called centrists and Republicans have been particularly exercised about. Government waste! Give them tax cuts! Then the government waste! Yesterday, 20 members of the House from both parties, not yesterday, I guess this would be Tuesday. 20 members of the House from both parties sent a letter to House negotiators urging them to ensure that the protections remained. Now, it's already a done deal, but this is a few days ago. 20 members of the House from both parties, I don't know what that means, what they had one, who was it, Specter, and the other 19 were Democrats, but, you know, keep the provision, the whistleblowers, because that's the way we can discover waste, fraud, and abuse. But according to a person following the bill closely, Senator Collins used the conference committee the other day to drastically water down the measure. And what was her excuse? National security as the reason for her opposition to whistleblowers. And in the end, the protections were so weakened that House negotiators balked, and the result was that the entire amendment was removed. And according to the person following the bill, Senator Susan Collins was the central roadblock to passing the protections. Susan Collins, centrist Republican.
We'll be right back.
Making the Pie Higher, it's more of Mike Malloy.
Before the hour, I wonder how much more time is going to elapse here before Dick Cheney. God, doesn't he seem so, I don't know, 15th century, dark castle, things clanking, squeaking, stinking. And he comes up out of the subterranean part of the castle with dirt all over him.
Well, I've been asleep for a while, and I'm hungry, goddammit.
When Cheney finally unleashes a dirty bomb or a nuclear weapon on the United States, you know he's planning it. He and his zombie army. He is one of the princes of the dead. Rush Limbaugh is a prince of the fat.
Cheney
is one of the princes of the dead. So he's got this zombie army, and they're spread all over the country. They're called Republican lawmakers. And God only knows when Cheney is going to give the signal.
I think today's a good day. Blow a goddamn thing up.
There are three missing nuclear bombs. And they are missing from the, this is from Minot, South Dakota Air Base. Remember the nuclear weapons that were activated and flown across the United States to what would have been a jumping off point to go to Iran and drop them on Iran. That's what Cheney had planned. Well, word got out and the plane was stopped. And now most of the crew of that plane are dead, all having been murdered. All having died in car wrecks and unexplained circumstances. So, and if you really want to get funky, the reason they're all dead or dying is because when the plane landed in, where did it land? In Louisiana someplace? And it became clear that that they were in deep trouble because as they taxied to where they had been ordered to go and they stopped and opened the doors, all of a sudden in came a bunch of people dressed in Blackwater uniforms with masks over their faces and, put the airmen up against the interior wall of the plane and started removing bombs. No, that didn't happen. I kind of like that version. So the bombs went to the secret little hidey hole where Dick Cheney has them stored until he can distribute them, or at least one of them, to his target city. It might be Phoenix. It might be Chicago. It might be Las Vegas. But the evil son of a bitch is working on it, trust me, even as we speak. Now, here comes chapter two of the story. According to Associated Press, the Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Laboratory in New Mexico is missing 69 computers, a lab spokesman said. The spokesman said, no classified information has been lost, just 69 computers. The watchdog group, the one that Susan Collins wants to defund, well, no, this is not a whistleblower, this is outside the government, but it's called Project on Government Oversight, yesterday released a memo dated February 3rd from the Energy Department's National Nuclear Security Administration that said 67 computers were missing, including 13 that were lost or stolen in the past 12 months. And the spokesman from Los Alamos Nuclear Weapons Laboratory confirmed the figures, but later updated them. He said a total of 80 computers disappeared in 2008. Oh, but they got 11 of them back, so there's only 69 still missing. Also missing are three computers that were taken from a scientist's home in Santa Fe, New Mexico on 16 January, and a BlackBerry belonging to another employee was lost in, quote, a sensitive foreign country, end quote. Mr. Rourke, the spokesman for the weapons laboratory, said the computers with classified information are, quote, kept completely separate from unclassified computing, end quote.
Yeah, okay. Nothing to worry about then, right? So these computers, at least the ones, the reason they took 80 of them was to, you know, cover their tracks. They took some with nothing but downloaded porn from the scientists who worked there. They took other ones with formulae for, I don't know, how to make petrol out of switchgrass. Remember that? Remember that? Yeah, we're gonna have cars run on switchgrass and corn. So they stole 80 of them. They only wanted three or four. The three or four that had the necessary information to not launch these weapons, but to set the ignition switches and maybe timers. You need to know the circuitry of these weapons. And one assumes that they are thermonuclear, so that they have what you and I, not you scientists out there, but what I would consider to be an atomic bomb trigger that sets off a hydrogen bomb. So who do you suppose has them? You think they were sold for scrap? You think somebody broke into Los Alamos nuclear weapons lab over the past 12 months and took computers out? Well, here, you know, we can strip these out and get the copper out of there. That isn't worth a lot of money right now. Well, there's mercury in there, too. Hot damn. Do you think that's what happened? Or do you think that somebody was paid to bring these to the ghoul, the vampire, the son of a bitch that used to be vice president of the United States? What do you think? Too far out there? Too much speculation? Three nuclear bombs missing. Possibly thermonuclear, according to my scenario. And now computers from the nuclear weapons lab. Gee, another one of those coincidences. Where do you think they are?
Well, you know, it's really none of your business. And during the 8 years of our administration, if you will, there were no terrorist attacks after September 11th, if you will. And that's because, if you will, of the astute leadership provided by George W. Bush. Did I have a part in the leadership? Well, maybe. But as far as these three nuclear bombs that are missing, well, don't worry about it. When it happens, it happens, and it's over in the flash of a, well, of a flash. And anyway, it's in the Bible, so. How's that Barack Obama kid doing, huh? Isn't he funny?
You don't think so? Well, what do you think? All right, you want to talk? Let's do some phone calls. The number here, 800-989-1480. 800-989-1480, if you want to call. We got two open lines. Let's start with Tom in Connecticut, who's been holding on forever. Tom, welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hey.
Yes, Tom is here.
Yes, yes. Hi, Tom.
What's up?
What's up? You called me. I have no earthly idea. What? Talk, or let me move on.
Hey, is this Mike?
Yes, it is.
Well, all right, Mike. Don't worry about it. I didn't know if it was your guy or not. But anyhow, how you doing, Mike? I'm glad to talk to you tonight. I'm going back all the way to the beginning of the show where you were referring to juveniles being jailed for various reasons, and I just wanted to share with you a personal knowledge of something that that occurred at. Didn't happen to do with anybody in the government or legislator, but, you know, it happened with a family who...
Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Tell me about it.
Who had teenage children that were, when they turned 16, the two boys, they were sent to the... somehow they were accepted, or I hate to say that, sounds like they're being... You know, and stepped into a school, but they were allowed to be preemptively placed into a juvenile detention center to prevent them from being criminals in the future, I guess. And, you know, when I was listening to your talk, I immediately recalled that and thought that it was just incredible how, you know, whether it's on a national or state or family, now when I'm talking about family level, that people are doing this. And this is only within the last 5 years.
Yeah. Anything else? Where'd he go?
I think that was George Bush calling in from Crawford after perhaps the one too many Lone Star.
You think? We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Molloy. This is NOVAM.
Your host for a Peance Friance future, it's Mike Molloy.
It is 10 before the hour. Let's go back to your phone calls before I have another coughing spasm. All right, Mike is calling from Georgia, listening on the internet. Where at in Georgia, Mike?
I'm your Mountain Park Bureau Chief, Mike.
Mountain Park Bureau Chief. All right, how you doing?
Hey, to segue between the first part of the show and the second part of the show, nuclear option. Why the hell isn't Reed setting up the cots and making the people, making Republicans filibuster?
Because
this is stupidest thing in the world.
Well, of course
why not show these people for what they are?
I hear you, but would it make any difference? You know, Bart Kopp, at his website years ago, described the Democrats that are in charge as pink tutu Democrats, as in as in ballet dancers. You know, and he's got occasionally run a picture of Lieberman and Kerry and Reed in little tutus and dancing shoes.
There's a picture.
Right. Oh, it's great. You ought to check out his website. It's one of the best sites
on
the internet. But Reed's not going to do that. That requires leadership. Reed is not a leader. And I'm not parroting the pig man or any of these right-wing crazy nutcases. It's just I am so frustrated with Democratic Party leadership. Nancy Pelosi, they should have, as soon as they got control, they should have started impeachment hearings against these bastards. So, no, I'm not surprised at anything Reed does. He's a turncoat. He's a threat to the country. He's not a terrorist like Republicans are. He's just a threat to the country.
Well, when was it that the Republicans were going to try this? 2005 with the Supreme Court nomination?
Yeah. They absolutely. And anytime that they were in the minority and didn't get their way, they would pull their thumbs out of their mouths long enough to start a filibuster or at least threaten one. And of course, the Democrats would immediately collapse and say, okay, never mind. We'll confirm Sammy the Fish Alito. We'll confirm John Roberts. Just don't filibuster. Why not? I don't know. It just sends shivers up and down my back. Have you got a cough?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Me too.
I'll let you go here.
I've got one too. I've had it for about 6 weeks now.
It would set the tone right here at the beginning and get it going. Hey, Mike, thanks for all you do and love your show, even out here in Roswell. And thanks a lot.
All right, Mike. Take care.
Thanks.
Take care. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Just pausing for a little oxygen here. What little oxygen there is in the studio. Jeremy calling from Huntington Beach, California, listening on KTLK. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. How's it going?
It's going.
You know, good. Quickly, if anyone has the bravery to or tenacity to look a gift horse in the mouth, there's a publication called The Crisis of Democracy. I just want to sound the alarm. If anyone's wondering at looking at a smoking gun between the link between what you might call a one-world government, conservative policy, and rhetoric, they actually say things in there. This is published by the Trilateral Commission. They actually say things like the greatest threat to what they call democracy, more in a minute about that, is the inherent workings of the democratic process itself, questioning authority,
right,
unmasking of political policymakers, and very interestingly, they say the greatest threat, if they survive a recession, is middle class or working class affluence. And yeah, they actually use that terminology. On the surface, it sounds like they're talking about, you know, how to restore and make sure that democracy works. But at the end of the introduction, they give you the key, and they actually call it a key. They say the key of understanding this text is understanding Schumpeter and Lippmann. Now, Lippmann, Walter Lippmann, what he defined as democracy is what George Orwell called thought control. Mm-hmm. He actually said that the essence of democracy is basically brainwashing the public into doing what elites want them to do anyway.
Right.
And this is all in black and white. And
okay.
I'm actually a little surprised that they have the audacity to publish it, but it's called The Crisis of Democracy. You can just Google it. And they actually say things like the American government needs to be checked by a quote-unquote outside agency.
Well, there's another reason to destroy the middle class, because it's the middle class where revolution always arises, whether it is Mao, Castro and Che Guevara, Lenin, Thomas Jefferson, just go down the list of revolutions, especially the bloody ones, and you'll find that revolution always arises from the middle class. It never comes from the wealthy, for obvious reasons. They're content with the status quo. And it never comes from the underclass, so-called, or poor people, because they simply don't have the wherewithal or the organizational means. I don't mean they don't have a brain. I just mean they don't have what is necessary to organize. So revolution always comes from the middle class, and that's that's the reason to destroy it, because you destroy the middle class and you've taken away a threat to your fascism.
Exactly, and I'm appalled they have the audacity to actually admit it, but it's right there. And strangely, they know that the press, the so-called liberal media, strangely isn't going to say a word about that.
Oh, this is way over the heads of Mika Brzezinski, Charlie Gibson. Hey, I got to leave it there, pal, because we got a break here. They don't have a clue as to the kind of stuff you're talking about. Not even a clue. They're paid. These news anchors, Brian Williams and the rest of them, are paid millions of dollars a year to help us all forget. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Oh, okay. Hey, welcome back. Almost seven and a half past the hour. Sorry, I get carried away with moody blues music. Just you know, takes me somewhere else. Prairie 2 wrote in regarding those stolen computers and my theory that they're full of the bomb codes and stuff. Prairie 2 writes, there probably wouldn't be any information on a laptop that would be relevant to the activation of a nuclear device, since these people do research and the bombs in inventory are at least 20 years old. What the thieves would be looking for is insight into cutting-edge research. The people most interested in this would be the communists, scratch that, our capitalist business partners, the Chinese. Dick Cheney probably got a bribe, scratch that, commission for providing the information. Okay, I'll accept that. But I know the Dark Lord's hand is in there somewhere, either on the nuclear bombs or the computers or both.
I don't know why you say that. I served my country, if you will, for 8 years.
All right, back to your phone calls. And we have two open lines. The number here is 800-989-1480. Mike is calling from Dallas, listening to KMNY. Hey, Mike.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Pretty good.
Hey, I'm a truck driver. I'm calling from Dallas. I'm from Phoenix. And I got to tell you, the last 4 days I've been driving around this country.
Yeah.
All I've been able to get is crazy, the right-wing frequencies. I've been listening to a lot of the crap from the other side.
Right.
And they are absolutely going batty.
Uh-huh,
they are fighting mad right now, and they are really lashing out. And, you know, they're fighting for their lives because they know if this thing works, and, you know, I'll admit that there's a chance that this all falls down anyways, and it looks bad on Obama, but they're afraid of the chance that it will work, and then they're made obsolete for the next couple generations. That's exactly what they're afraid of.
Well, if I might disagree with you, Mike, and I'll tell you why. The same thing applied with these right-wing radio talk freaks when Clinton got elected, and in 93 instituted this tax increase that he said would bring down the deficit that seemed to be out of control, and the national debt, it would help reduce the national debt as a result of 12 years of Reagan and Bush 1. So they all went berserk, and the Clinton plan worked, and we had 8 years, whether I like it or not, we had 8 years of no wars, with the exception of bombing the bejesus out of Serbians, and prosperity, and the Republic or the right wing talk show host, right in the middle of that in 1994, they helped promote Newt Gingrich, who then took over the government more or less. So. I don't think if this plan works, as a matter of fact, if Barack Obama gets up tomorrow morning and says to the press corps, here, let me show you something, and walks across the reflecting pool in Washington, D.C. without getting his ankles wet, even that would not stop them, the right-wing radio vermin, from continuing their assault. So I'd like to agree with you. I would that if it succeeds, it'll shut these monsters up, these America haters, these traitors, these terrorists. But it won't. It won't, Mike. And the reason it won't is because the syndicators and the radio stations and the companies that own these right wing talkers and fund them very well. You never hear any of these right wing bastards whining and begging for money on the air the way you hear progressives or liberals. And they serve a purpose. They protect corporate America by constantly filling the airwaves with lies and deceit and deception. So,
well, I'm sorry. That's one of the things that they're doing a hard misdirect on is this fear of the fairness doctrine being reimplemented. They are doing a very, very hard misdirect on that. Lots of deception on that, and you know.
Well, it's not coming back. That's a straw man. They're putting that out there to jangle the nerves of the vermin who listen to them. There's no way in hell. We talked about this the other night. The fairness doctrine was designed for television,
And it was designed when there were three over-the-air networks, ABC, CBS, and NBC, so that the power of television wouldn't be used, you know, the audiovisual thing, wouldn't be used to influence an election or a point of view without offering the other side. It didn't have anything to do with radio when it began. And, of course, Reagan knocked it out with the end of the Fairness Doctrine, but it's never coming back. Never, never, never. It's not okay. Even an issue. Like I said, with the ocean, the universe of media outlets that are available now, Jesus, you know, I have Dish Television. I have over 400 channels, and probably 15 of those are news channels. How are they going to reinstitute the Fairness Doctrine? Is old, is archaic, it doesn't work anymore. And then you have the internet. How are you going to impose the Fairness Doctrine on the internet? So it's gone. And the Republican, right-wing neo-Nazi talkers know that it's never coming back. But they're using that once again, like these sons of bitches always do. They create a threat and then say to their brain dead listeners, "Oh, you got to rally around me, boys, because the liberals are coming. The liberals are coming. You know what they're going to do? They're going to reinstitute the so-called Fairness Doctrine. You know why? Because they want to shut us up." That's how the story goes. Don't listen, Mike. Don't listen.
You got it. Hey, thanks for doing what you do, man. Because I've been withering away the last 4 days. I'm so glad I found you somewhere.
Yeah. All right. Well. Drive safe. Stay in touch. Right.
All right, man. Thanks. Bye.
All right. Take care, Mike. Yeah, that's one of the biggest scams out there right now. Is what these terrorists. The right wingers on radio, and they are terrorists, and they should be arrested. They should be jailed. They should be sent to I don't know, Abu Ghraib. That would be good for them, since they seem to think. What did Limbaugh, what did the pig man, the drug addled freak, what did he say about Abu Ghraib?
Well, it was like a bunch of college students at a fraternity hazing. You know, what the hell's going on here? Why is everybody getting their bowels in an uproar over this? So liberals. The liberals. What? I can't hear you. Anybody got any OxyContin? Where's my goddamn housekeeper? Get out there and give me some OxyContin, bitch. Hurry up.
There is no issue about the Fairness Doctrine. It's never coming back for the reasons I just was talking about with Mike. Well, those are the only reasons. How in the hell could it be enforced on, I don't know, pick a number. 500, 10,000 media outlets? Come on, get real. How are you going to enforce it on the BBC or Al Jazeera or, you get my point. They all broadcast here in the United States. What are you going to do? You're going to tell the BBC, "Now you got to present two points of view on everything." No. And these right-wing sludge eaters understand that. But again, it's creating a straw man that they can then use to wave in the faces of these dumbass ditto heads or manatee followers or, you know, whatever they are. They it's impossible for them to think on their own. And every once in a while when they start to think on their own or think they're thinking on their own, the right-wing talkers will come up with these ghosts.
Watch out! Here comes the Fairness Doctrine! Look out! Look out! Everybody, gather around! Come on back around! I know you're starting to drift off there. You think, Barack Obama's... No, come back here. Because they're going to put the Fairness Doctrine on them and on us, and they're going to shut down right-wing talk radio! And then I'm going to lose my $25 million a year. Oh, no.
Bye.
Has he mentioned yet tonight how much he hates these people? It's more Mike Malloy.
Yeah, I've mentioned it to the point that I'm ripping my larynx out. Jesus. I know a lot of people have this damn cold, too, this whatever it is. I only start coughing when I come on this program. It's because I just can't contain the uncontainable rage. Back to your phone calls. Joe from San Diego is calling, listening on the internet. Hey, Joe.
Hey, Mike. Enjoy listening to you.
Thank you. I wish we were still on KLSD, though. That would be a lot easier, wouldn't it?
I wish that were true.
Yeah.
After 8 years of Bush tax cuts, shouldn't these guys who are making the case that we need more tax cuts be able to come up with some kind of proof that it works? Shouldn't they come up with some, you know, we have this much investment in some plant somewhere that these guys got from this money,
right?
That created more jobs. I think they could make that case, but mm-hmm. I think it would be in China.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, yeah, when you talk about the Chinese industrial, you know, behemoth that it's become, where did they get the capital investment to do that? China doesn't have any natural resources to speak of. It's not like they're an oil giant or anything.
Well, part of it came from the fact that we Americans over the past 10 years have been more than willing, over the past 15 years, 20 years, have been more than willing to buy up every piece of electronic junk that they produce. And what they're producing, of course, is American brands or Japanese brands, but they provide the labor, so it's their junk. And now, of course, there are Chinese brands. But you're right.
I would make the case that all this tax money, all this tax break, mm-hmm. did just the opposite from what they're saying. All that money went over. They hired some shiny MBA out of Harvard to drive around, Toledo or somewhere and look around at these factories to see what people are doing, mm-hmm. and then replicated it over there and paid people 14 cents a year or something.
Well, it's worse than that. As our economics correspondents pointed out, and you may know this, I knew it. Not only did the capitalist pigs, to borrow a term, in this country do what you just said, but they stripped the factories. It didn't require the Chinese to come over and take a look and say, oh, well, let's have a widget maker. The widget makers were actually taken out of the factories in America and shipped to China.
Right, right.
That's how bad it is.
So Bush's tax break and the tax break these guys are talking about, they aren't going to create any more jobs.
No.
They're going to take away more jobs.
There you go.
There's no proof. They can't quantify it in any way. You know, there's only a few people. There's, you know, a few, maybe 100,000 people in all the United States who got this great largesse.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't George Bush or shouldn't somebody be able to trot these people out and say, this guy invested in America. He got his tax break, his gazillion of dollars. I mean, Sheldon Adelson, he took all that casino money and mm-hmm. built more casinos in Macau and all that.
Well, it's all smoke and mirrors. And the only people who take the tax cut lie seriously are the brain-dead listeners to the leaders of the Republican Party, Limbaugh and Joe the Plumber and Boner and the rest of these people, and say, yeah, I want tax cuts. And then somebody taps them on the shoulder and says, wait a second, you don't have a job, dumbass. You know, why do you want a tax cut? Oh, well, and they don't know why. It's like Pavlov's dogs. As soon as one of these Republicans says tax cut, Republican legislator or the pig man or some of these people, then unemployed or broken down Republicans go, they hear the term tax cut and they start salivating and scratching their ears like, bum, 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 you know, like a dog.
Well, there's nobody in the media that questions these guys.
Oh, well, the media. Write them off, Joe.
I got one thing for you before I let you go, or before you let me go.
Okay.
They're going to run David Petraeus as president.
I wouldn't be surprised.
he's their Sarah Palin's going to be gone.
Yeah,
he's their ace in the hole.
I wouldn't be the least bit surprised, and they're going to try to sell him as the new Eisenhower.
Exactly.
And oh God, oh God. All right, Joe. But buy canned food. I'll talk with you later. All right, take care. Take care. Oh man. Yeah, Prairie 2 has been telling everybody in his dispatches to us, buy canned goods. Okay, this weekend, Kathy, do you like, you can't eat canned seafood, though, or canned chicken. Oh, my God.
I'm about to become a vegetarian.
Well, if we have to eat out
always
of
cans. Potted meat.
We have to eat out of cans for a while. You're damn right. You'll have to be a vegetarian. Well, we can get some corn and some peas. We can get tomato sauce. We can get, canned squash. We got lima beans.
I know you can walk on the water, but can you walk on this much deer? Basket, are you drinking with me, Jesus?
Where have you been, my blue-eyed son? And where have you been, my darling young one?
You're listening to Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy.
12 misty mountains.
25 before the hour.
I walked and I crawled on.
Oh, here's redemption, Kathy, regarding canned meat. Prairie 2 writes, it was on the news that the Spam canning plant in Minnesota is running 24/7. They have never been this busy. I'm still waiting for my commission check. If you are wondering, SPAM stands for shoulder, pork, and ham. There you go. You're not Jewish. You can.
I thought it was spiced ham.
Spiced ham.
Yeah. I want some answers.
Okay. Well, go to Wikipedia and take a look, because Prairie 2 may be feeding us false information here for whatever reason. Back to your phone calls. Oh, my God. Hey, we got four open lines. You better get with the program. 800-989-1480. Let's talk with Patrick in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Hey, Patrick.
Hey, Mike. It's such an honor to be able to speak on your show. I really appreciate it.
Mm-hmm.
I come from a background of 20 years as a right-wing Republican Christian ditto head. And I can say with absolutely no apology that the Republican Party is sadomasochism at its worst, and they have adopted the master race ideology from Hitler, and they've packaged it in such a way that people are just swallowing it hook, line, and sinker.
Well, I'm just curious, and I'm sure people listening, what made you change your mind about your beliefs?
Circumstances where I became homeless for a year and a half, and I felt exactly what it was like to be an American that had absolutely no hope and no opportunity. And all of a sudden, I looked around at all my so-called Christian friends that didn't know my name when I became a victim of misfortune.
You've come back, obviously. I mean, you've come back from being homeless, right?
I am not homeless at this time.
Right, that's what I mean. Well, okay. I certainly don't disagree with you about the insanity of the Republican Party. I think most people understand that who are not totally brainwashed. I had family members who were Republican. But, you know, back in the day, they somehow managed to survive Nixon and wrote it off as an aberration. They're very much enamored with Reagan because he'd been invading our houses ever since I was a little kid what were those programs? The one with 20 Mule Team Borax, remember that? The General Electric Theater, and, you know, Reagan had always been there. So they were kind of enamored of him until they realized that he was no more in control than they were, that he was just a doddering old man. No offense to doddering old men. I hope to become one someday, maybe within the next 6 months. But and then Bush won. Was kind of just not there, except as he was destroying the economy. And nobody really cared that his father had been helped build the Nazis in blah, blah, blah. But when Bush 1 came, or Bush 2 came along, all of a sudden the family members that were Republicans suddenly realized that, you know, they had been totally duped. And it wasn't that Bush... too, was not a Republican. He is a Republican, absolutely, right down to the guts. That's what the Republican Party has become. And the people I'm talking about, my family, who had not really been paying attention, just, you know, they've been brought up Republican. They were not in my nuclear family, extended family. They had been brought up Republican and never questioned it. They had no reason to. Weren't politically active, just voted Republican. And then they started questioning it. And taking a look at it, and freaked, and either became independents, true independents, or Democrats. And some, a couple of cousins who just did 180s and became liberals, right down to their core. Where are we? Listening on the mic in Madison is Dan. Hi, Dan. Welcome to the program.
Yeah, I don't have too much to say. Your show is really good. You got a really good show here.
Well, thanks.
I was just going to talk about the fairness doctrine a teeny bit. I think the only thing they're talking about is maybe taking a radio station, someone like Clear Channel in front of a committee and saying, why are you have all these conservative Republican radio stations, and the other market only is like 50-some. You know what I mean? I think they're just talking about AM or FM radio, which I wouldn't mind, but I just think there's too many Democrats still that are bought and they're hired by the same people that hire the Republicans.
I'm sorry, Mike. I don't want to come across as terribly stupid, but you lost me there. I mean Dan. I'm sorry.
Yeah, as far as just the fairness doctrine, I think all we're looking at here is a subcommittee looking, you know, hauling in Clear Channel and maybe some other big stations going, why do you only have conservative radio?
Oh, yeah, okay. And of course, that does. I mean, that's a legitimate question. It really is, because when you have a radio station. And a television station, too, for that matter, you are using what is, we can gigglingly still call the public airwaves. Ha ha! And then a knee slapper. But it's still defined as the public airwaves, owned by the public. Ha ha ha! Jesus God, that's funny! So, right, so what the committee members want to know, you know, what is a network, or syndication, whatever you want to call it, like Clear Channel, that, I believe is starting to shed stations at this point. But you know, at one time, I don't know, what do they own? 700, 1700, and just saturated the air coast to coast, border to border with right wing drivel. And it wasn't just Clear Channel. I mean, ABC did the same thing. Premier Radio Networks, owned by CBS, did the same thing. And it wasn't because there was no market. You know, somebody tell me if they really believe that in a city like Chicago, blue-collar, Democrat city, right, that what the people in Chicago want is 15 news talk stations that do only right-wing garbage 24/7. It's just insane. But again, I said this the other night, anytime you put a progressive talk show host up against one of these, dinosaur right wingers, the progressive always
kicks ass where it concerns the ratings. So all the arguments put out by the right-wingers, well, the marketplace says nobody wants to hear liberals. That is such garbage. Just like they're saying, well, the liberals now are trying to reinstitute the fairness doctrine. A little sidebar to that, it's always interesting how something with the word fairness in it scares the pants off of Republicans. But it's not coming back, ever. Any hearings that are being held, it's like asking the tobacco industry, do you jack up the nicotine in your products? Oh, what, us? Oh, God, no. Whatever gave you that idea? So asking Clear Channel executives or any executives in radio, why is 98% of your programming, I would call it right-wing neo-fascism, but the members of Congress will call it conservative or Republican. The answer is going to be, that's just what the market asked for. And then the Democrats on the committee will say, oh, okay, well, thanks for coming in. See you around.
Yeah, that sounds about right. There was one other thing I was thinking to say. Maybe if you go a little light on Ed Schultz, I use him as a stepping stone when I meet people when they go, who do you listen to and stuff? I go, well, Ed Schultz. I mean, I do listen to Ed Schultz, but I like him a little bit, but that's just to barely get him to like move to a different point of view. So you have to have like a little stool for them to step on before they get up to the big boys like you.
Well, I've got no problem with Ed Schultz. I just don't mention him because last time I was on a stage with him a couple of years ago with four other liberal talk show hosts, he turned to me in front of the audience, and the audience booed him. And he said, well, Mike, don't you believe the Jewish people deserve a homeland? Which was a total non sequitur. I mean, Schultz was pandering. He is a panderer. That's just the way it goes. So, I try not to, that's the reason that I don't mention him ever, because any other talk show host, occasionally I will mention the fact that I wish I were as smart as Hartman, or as funny as Stephanie, or as creative as Sam Cedar, or as rich as Ed Schultz maybe, working at radio is like what they said in Washington. If you want a friend in Washington, buy a dog. Same thing applies in talk radio. Thanks. I'm glad you called in, Dan. Take care. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy. Before the hour. Gosh, program over already? Time just rips by when you're having fun, doesn't it? Huh? Thanks to our staff, Ian Huff, who engineered the program and answers your calls. Ben Birch, who manages the technical aspect of the program. Sharon Gordy is our military affairs correspondent. Bob Alexander and Bridget Wolf are the program's ethical advisors, Bruce Enberg, our economic advisor, and the executive producer is Catherine Bay.
And I just have a message to all you lovebirds out there. Tomorrow we are going to have our little Valentine's Day celebration.
We are?
On Friday night. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Two things. You have an interview tomorrow at 10 o'clock with your very own fairy, Bridget, Fairy Woodland Bridget.
Yeah.
At 10 o'clock Eastern Time, so don't miss that.
Okay.
And
oh, no, I'll be here.
And we'll be celebrating the most romantic day of the year with love songs.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. You mean the bumper music is it's all going to be love
with
song?
No Delilah. It's all going to be us. Be fun. See if we can not cough our way through it.
Yeah, okay. Valentine's Day show? When did we start this?
Well, my God, it's Saturday, and, at midnight when our show goes
on. Well, tomorrow's
here,
Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Well,
you want Halloween music?
No, let's just have some...
love songs. We'll take a vote.
Back to your phone calls. Nora is calling from Minneapolis, listening on KTNF. Hi, Nora.
Hey there, Mike. We're up here trying to survive through the entire winter of Norm Coleman and Al Franken fighting.
What is going on? Norm Coleman ought to just, go get a job selling insurance and let the guy who won the election go to Washington.
He intends to make us sad forever, I think.
Well, that's Republicans.
I'm calling to say, how proud are we of our beloved newborn president? How beautiful and brilliant and sparkling is his genius? I'm just blown away by him.
Yeah?
I heard Nicole Kidman on The View one day talking about her newborn, and every time she looked at it, she cried. And that's the way I've been about Barack Obama. Of course, my only son has been long gone at the age of 22 many years ago, so I'm left here with an open space hole in my heart. So
yeah.
I every time I look at him and hear him talking his stuff, I cry because he's so...
Inspiring, uplifting, right?
I've been so mad at America ever since Vietnam. I've been mad at America and just spewing out about how it's filled with ignorant fools. And now, I don't know, somehow I have to kind of eat my words because at least half of the voters got over it. I'm so grateful.
Yeah, well... I can plug into some of that what you're saying, Nora. I really can.
First election when they lowered the voting age to 18, and I went to the election and they reelected Nixon. I was like, let me out of this world.
Yeah, I remember that, Nora. I got to move on. Thank you a lot. I appreciate you checking in. Yeah, I remember that. McGovern carried what? South Dakota and Massachusetts. No, he didn't even carry his home state, did he? He carried Massachusetts. And look what we got. That was another example. Nora's right. That was another example of the utter brilliance of the American electorate. You know, a thief, although he's a petty thief. Your president's not a crook. Oh, yes, you are. Jesus Christ. You steal anything it wasn't nailed down. No. No, I wouldn't. Oh, God. And he got reelected. I have a secret plan to bring the boys home from Vietnam. Well, not until another 38,000 of them are dead, but, you know. I was just kidding. The plan to bring them home is, what I mean is bring them home in coffins. That's a little Quaker humor there. Thor is calling from Santa Barbara or Mount Olympus, one of the two. Not Mount Olympus. Hi, Thor.
Hi, Mike. For years I've been listening to you.
You're listening on 1490 KBKO. Are you listening live?
Yeah, I am. John Elliott was on, and now you have filled his slot, and I'm happy to have that happen.
Yeah, me too.
I listened to you for years. You were like the voice in the darkness of the night a few years ago. I agree with you completely on everything you say. I think you have a lot more in common with Hartman than you think. You're sort of like a little bit more emotional, but you guys are very similar.
Yeah, I mean, Tom's points of view regarding these issues in mind are pretty much the same, but Tom has written 80 books or gives 100 lectures a year. I don't know when he sleeps.
Well, you guys are both equally intelligent. You know, you said you wished you were as smart as he.
Yeah, I'd love to be as smart as Hartman.
And actually, I think you are. You have a different delivery than he has, but... You know, I relate to you completely. My wife, Jeannie, who's driving home from Santa Maria, who I love very much, listens to you all the time. And we're really glad you're back on in Santa Barbara. And
when did we come back on in Santa Barbara? I'm so pleased. I didn't know about it.
About 3 weeks ago.
Four weeks ago.
Yeah.
Well, super.
And, you know, there was some point where you were on Air America and then you were off Air America.
Yeah.
And then I could only get you in San Luis Obispo when I would drive to my ranch in the Cuyama Valley.
Yeah.
And then you reappeared here in Santa Barbara. And we're, myself and many of my friends are very delighted that you have.
So am I. I'm glad to be back on that station. Hey, guess what? We're out of time.
One more thing.
Quickly.
The Story in Your Eyes, that song.
Yeah.
Play the instrumental that's in the middle of it sometime.
I'll do it.
Okay, buddy.
I'll
bless you.
All right. Thanks, Thor. Yes, appreciate you checking in. Well, we have more affiliates than we're aware of, right? Thanks for hanging out tonight. We'll see you tomorrow night for Kathy's Valentine's Day romance music. Oh, God. Well, it ought to be fun. I mean, what the hell? That'll be fun. All right. See you tomorrow. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Nova M.